We've got so many people in our church with so many problems tonight. That's the reason I wanted to bring this message out of James chapter 1, how to face life's problems. Trouble is one of the most common things that we have in common, you know. Somebody said there's trouble-free days. The only free trouble-free days are the ones past. I won't have them anymore. But trouble is what the theme of James, and if you look at James chapter 1, James, a bondservant of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flowers fail, and its beauty appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your blessings. And Lord, we ask you to lift up those that are in our church that are facing troubles and trials tonight. Lord, many that don't know how to face them, but Lord, we pray that your presence would be so real to them that we might help them out. And Lord, may find strength in your word. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. It says, my brethren, count it all joy. That's kind of strange, isn't it, when you fall into divers or various temptations. Now, that word translated in two ways, temptations. It's going to be temptations and trials that we have in life. We have a lot of trials in life, and the proper meaning is determined by the context in which it's written. But here in chapter 1, the chapter of James, it's used both ways here. One, it refers to the troubles of life, and then it refers to the temptation or an enticement of evil that the devil throws at us. Man. The devil's always throwing things at us, but the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into these situations in life. And we do fall into those, don't we? It's just a matter of days. You'll have some problems in life, whether it's this year or in 2015. I do know what year it is. Whether it's next month or this month, we'll have those problems come our way. And James says various trials, that's what divers are, diverse, various kinds, failures in our life. I don't know about you, but we run into some failures in life, disappointments in life that often come our way. The loss of a loved one might come our way this year. An illness that we run into this year. Can happen, like I heard of yesterday in Eustis, an accident where a loved one may be taken. James gives us some unusual advice in the Word of God when he says, count it all joy. You see, there's different ways to respond to joy or to trials and troubles in life. These are the ones that we see most often. One, we respond with a bitterness in our life. Or, you know, I see that often, our resentment towards God. I've had people that have trusted God as their Lord and Savior and gone to church, but when they fall into a trial that's not too comfortable, a loss of a loved one, or a disease. They literally shake their fist, so to speak, at God and say, "Why did you let this happen to me?" You see, there's a resentment towards God. And we look around at ourselves and look around at the world beyond, and we see all kinds of people in life that are worse, and yet they're getting along better than we are. And I've had people ask me, "Preacher, I serve the Lord. I go to church, and yet these people seem to be blessed, and I'm not blessed at all." And they have that resentment against God, as so to speak, that why do we even go to church? So you see that bitterness there. And that's one way that I've found that a lot of people react to trials. That you would think they were strong enough Christians. And I'm glad to see our youth learning some reasons of what we believe and why we believe it, you see. And I think of that question, why do good things happen? Bad things happen to good people. And that's a good thing to look at. But we also see that a lot of times people are critical and complaining in their attitudes. Instead of counting it all joy, they're very critical. And they develop a bitter or sour disposition in their life to where they do not want to do things anymore, or they lose all the joy that's in their life. And they turn away from God. They turn away from church. They develop that. They lose their joy, so to speak, in their Christian endeavors. Now, we can be driven into despair, or we can so many times seek escape through different things in our life. But James says, listen, there's a better way. When you fall into various trials, count it all joy, he says. Now, that's a distinct Christian approach to it, isn't it? That's something different than the world. It's interesting that the Bible, when it talks about trials and tribulations, it never tries to explain why these come our way. A lot of people say, "Why, preacher? Why did this happen to me? Why did my wife die, or my child die, or why did so and so have cancer?" The Bible never tells us why, but it tells us how that we in life can face these trials, how we can go through life as a Christian and face these trials with joy in our life. And folks, that is something that's unique about the Christian and unique about what the Bible teaches. He says, count it all joy. Now, I just got through talking to a beloved brother this last week while I was hunting, and not one of our church members, but another one, that the man has lost his wife, and he's down and depressed. And I know we fight depression, and I know it's a very real thing in our life. And it's hard to say to someone like that who served God to, you know, cheer up. Don't get too down, and don't stay down. Get back up with God and start reading God's Word again, and get the life back into your life, the joy back into your Christian experience. That's hard, isn't it? We face those kind of situations. Maybe you. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us why, but if we knew why, would it lessen the pain? No, it wouldn't, would it? It wouldn't lessen the pain. And folks, I learned from my father. My father went through these experiences. They lost some children along the road. Mother lost some children along the road. And why does not help anyhow. But I learned from them, they just get back up and keep serving God and keep praising God. You know, words do not help Only God can help. And it's how we respond to these situations in life. And one verse that I've always claimed is Romans chapter 8, when the Bible says, all things work together for good of them that love God and those that are called according to His purpose. And I believe God is taking our lives and He's taking all the bad, you can't see it right now, and all the good, and He's just meshing that together so it'll work for good in your life. And you may not see it right now. You may not see it till way down the road and you look back. Because when we look back, we have a better view, don't we? And God says, listen, if you will just trust me, put your faith in me, I will work things out. And you know what? I found that the Christian knows that God is not helpless. And God can take all of these things, bad and the good, and transform them into something good and useful. Now, we're studying in our Bible, and I won't get in on the lesson, but we're studying the book and studying Joseph, you see? And if you look at his life, that's exactly what's happened. He didn't see at the time any good, probably, in being put in prison. He didn't see any good in his brothers dumping him in that pit. But let me tell you something. God took it all and worked it out for God's glory and His best and the family's best. But how can a man be happy in the midst of all the trouble that we're in? And if you look at today's world, folks, we're in a mess. We're in a real mess. And I believe as Christians, we're going to have to get a grip on all the trouble that we're facing. And this passage of Scripture deals with it. Count it joy. Joy in spite of the affliction. That's the first point I want to make. Count it joy in spite of the affliction that we have. One, we can do that because we know what God can do. Look at what he says. Brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. What? Knowing this. Knowing what? Knowing what God has done. Knowing what God can do. It says, knowing that the trying of your faith. Faith in what? Faith in God. Your growth, your maturity in Christ, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You know, we can be happy in the tribulations that we go through in life because I know that down the road, God is strengthening my life, you see. Somebody says what we need in church is more character. And I said, well, I got a lot of characters in church. There's a bunch of you. I was just talking to one while ago. I said, now, you're going to behave in going to Branson. We're taking off to Branson in the morning. She said, why? You want to have fun, don't you? Being behaving is no fun. I said, well, we got characters in this church, and I'm one of them. But, you know, knowing that the trials and the tribulations develop our strength in life and our character in life. We are what we are today. I think of a man, he's dead and gone now. I think he had one of the strongest characters of any man that I've ever met. And I can't think of his name. It just dawned on me. I knew I had to run back to the computer. Curtis Barfield. How many of you knew Curtis Barfield? Raise your hand. I thought that man had one of the strongest men of character. And let me tell you something. That man went through some trying tribulations in life. You may not have known his life story, but that man went into some trying tribulations. He never gave up on God. He always had a cheerful smile. He was always willing to testify for God. Even when he felt bad, he was sitting back there on that back row. Folks, he knew that passage of Scripture. I'd go over and visit with him, and I knew he was hurting, but he would always, always try to lift Christ up. Man, in his life, growth in character, that's what it leads us to, a mature life. And if anybody was ever mature, I thought that man was one of the backbones of the Christian faith, folks. Steadfast, that we're able to endure the days ahead. Count it joy, because we know that trouble is just a part of the Christian growth. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. If you serve God long enough, you're going to have some trouble. You know? In a sense, trouble is that spiritual growing pains that purify. You see, a diamond never becomes a diamond unless it's put under a lot of pressure, does it? Gold is never pure until it's put through the fire. Well, our lives are the same way. If we want to have strong, pure lives, then there has to be some pressure on our life. Look at the men of the Bible. Look at Peter. Look at Paul. Look at James. Look at all the disciples. Man, you know, when Jesus come along and said, "Follow me and I'll make you the fishers of men," I doubt if any one of them knew what they were facing in the days ahead. If they were today and they knew what they were facing ahead, if they were in today's church and the people of the churches today, they'd say, "Oh, no thanks. That's too much trouble." Amen. You see? It teaches us dependence upon God. That's what troubles do. It teaches us really how weak and inadequate we are and how sufficient God is, folks. Man, I thank God for all that he's done in our life and what he's doing in my life. That's the Bible teaches us that. Gives us a character in our life. Well, trying of your faith worketh patience. It makes us what we are. Not only that, troubles teach us our own inadequacy in life. If any of you, it says, lack wisdom, any of you lack wisdom, in the midst of all the trials and the troubles, we realize something. I'm not very smart after all. My limitations are very small. In the midst of all our trials and all our troubles, guess what? I need God. I need somebody bigger than I am. I need somebody bigger than the church is. I need God every day. And that's what troubles, you know, if I could turn to you and say, "I've got a problem, would y'all take care of it?" You would probably say, "No, I can't take care of it." But God can take care of it. He's bigger than all of us. And when we go through life thinking, you know, troubles only happens to others, it never happens to me, it won't happen. Brother, we got small thinking. Because let me tell you something. You're going to wake up one day and you're going to realize, I need God. I've got problems. And troubles teaches us that we're not sufficient on our own. But God is sufficient. He is our strength, like I said this morning. He is our refuge. And we need to get out on our knees in prayer. Man, I tell you, the strongest Christians you know, they didn't get that way by not praying. Billy Graham does not get up and preach a message with the power of the Holy Spirit on his life just because his name is Billy Graham. That man's been in prayer. You see, those that are called of God and are used by God are men that have spent time in prayer, praying over their messages, over their ministry, over their life, because they realize, listen, I can't preach if God's not there. And he knows just that much. Well, we need to learn to do that. And we need to learn to acknowledge that Our understanding is inadequate, and we need God in our life. Well, something else. Look at verse 9 and 10. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation. Troubles teach us the true value of our life. Think about that. Troubles teach us the true value of our life. The poor man learns just how rich he is. Man, I have known guys in their life, men, who have served God, and they don't have a single dime. They don't have, one guy I knew didn't have hardly a house to live in. But if you ask him, he was the richest man on earth because he knew God. And that's all he needed. He worked hard to make a living. He worked hard to make ends meet. He worked hard for his family. But he didn't complain. He just prayed to God and praised God. He says, let the poor man, he learns just how rich he is by the trials and the troubles, because he learns about the wealth of friends he has. He learns about the God he has. He learns that his treasure is in the church of God, and his wealth is not in money, but in the resources of God. That's what the poor man. And the rich man, he says, through trials and troubles, realizes just how poor he is. You see, if all we have is houses and money and material things, let me tell you something, those can be wiped out in a heartbeat. It doesn't do you any good at all to have all those things and not have life. You see, the sooner we learn the lessons, the better off we are. I love this little poem. I've heard it many a time. You have too. And it's so true. It says, I walked a mile with pleasure, and she chattered all the way. I was none the wiser for what she had to say, but I walked a mile with sorrow, and never a word said she. But oh, the things I learned that day when sorrow walked with me. Folks, we learn a lot about our lives, about our God, about our friends, when troubles and trials come our way. And some of the greatest lessons that we learn in our trials and in our afflictions, we learn about ourselves and we learn about God. And the writer in James here says, listen, you count it joy. That's hard to do. But those things that I've told you tonight, you can rejoice because it builds your strength in your character. It builds your, shows you your own inadequacy, and it gives you a lesson in what really counts in life. I loved old George Beverly Shea. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Do you have Jesus tonight? Do you have him as your Lord and Savior? Are you facing troubles? If so, rely on Jesus Christ and count it joy. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the trials that come our way, not because they're pleasant, but because they show us what we need to learn, and they develop character in our life. They give us strength, and Lord, we can lean upon you. And Lord, tonight, some are facing trials, some are facing troubles. And God, I pray tonight, if they are, that they will just look to you. For it's in Christ's name we ask it.